The Regathering of Israel.
Well, brethren, it's good to be here. Good to talk about the things that we dearly love. I'm turning to Acts, 15th chapter, something that all you brethren know very well, memorized. Thank you. But it concerns Israel. I believe, friends, that a subject of this kind is in order because of the conditions that exist in the earth today. You all heard a spiritual talk this afternoon. This will divide it somewhat. And you'll remember, friends, in reading this chapter, that they were having a convention at Jerusalem. And James was the chairman. Peter gave the discourse, and it must have been very good, for James heard something he never knew before. And of course they didn't have a loudspeaker we have these days. So James stood up. It declares here that James stood up after they held their peace, and he answered and said, "Men and brethren," I presume he wanted everyone to hear it. And we'd love to have everyone on earth hear it too, because there's something in this that, generally speaking, Christendom know nothing about. "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon," Peter, "hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the remainder, residue of men, might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, and known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world.'" I believe you've all memorized this. It's been given for all of this time during the harvest of the gospel age. But we'll notice some things here, friends, tonight. Remember how James said that God, at first, is visiting the Gentiles to pick out of the Gentiles a people for his name. Then immediately after this, something's going to transpire. Something spectacular. Something awe-inspiring will take place. That'll be the time then when the Lord will begin to deal with the house of Israel. "After this, I will return." And let us always remember there are three phases to the second coming of Christ. And I believe this refers to the last. And he said, "I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." Three times mentioned that the Lord's going to do this. Not man, but the Lord himself. And when will this take place? After the bride is selected. And not before. Now, we're not going to run ahead of the Lord, are we? We're going to wait. After the bride is selected. And the Lord is going to do this. And so it was at the first advent of the Lord. You remember when Jesus was walking around in Palestine? Peter, James, and John, and these men were with him, apostles. Were they begotten of the Holy Spirit? No. Many do not know this. They were not begotten of the Holy Spirit. Peter was not even converted. For the Lord says, "Peter, when thou art converted..." You see, friends, Everything takes place in due time. God's the greatest timekeeper in the universe. These men were not begotten of the Holy Spirit. Oh, no. Listen to what Jesus said. John 7, chapter 39th verse. But this spake Jesus of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. Hadn't received it yet. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit to begettle was not given, friends, to those men. Not until Jesus was glorified. And after Jesus was glorified, then the Holy Spirit to begettle was given to the disciples and the apostles. And that did not come until Pentecost, did it? And I believe the same thing today. Would it be right for anyone to say that the Holy Spirit was now upon the Jews in Palestine? No. There's some doing that up and down this coast too. They'll tell you that the Holy Spirit is upon the Jews, and Jacob's trouble's over with, and we're sailing into the kingdom. Can't be true. Don't you believe it? It's not true. No, friends, the Holy Spirit will not be given to those Jews. He'll pour His Spirit upon all flesh, but not until the church is glorified. When the church is in glory, then it will take place, and not until. Let us be careful. Oh, how the adversary would like to upset the truth movement today. But brethren, we have the truth. There it is upon the table. The table is set for us. And it's a 7-course dinner to me. And we can feast upon it constantly. The greatest of all the volumes that we received was the Tabernacle Shadows of Better Sacrifices. That was number one. Then the first volume, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and they're all on that table. All there. 7-course dinner. What more do we want? And if we'll keep close to them, friends, we'll not believe this nonsense that's flying around in the air. Now let's turn to the 11th chapter of Romans, beginning of the 12th verse. Now if the fall of them, the Jew, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them, the Jewish house, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Life from the dead. The casting away of them, yes. Jesus said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. They were cast off. Then when Jesus bowed his head in death, that great veil in the temple, 60 feet long, 40 feet wide, 4 inches thick, rent in twain and parted. What did that mean? The glory of the Lord is departed from Israel. And now a new and a living way has been opened. For you and for me. The casting of them means what? The reconciling of the world. By whom? The bride class. When? After this. After what? After the bride is selected. Is that what it says? Right here in the same chapter. 25th verse. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, Paul evidently knew it was a mystery. Some would see it and some wouldn't. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Let us not be wise in our own conceits, brethren. That blindness in part, merely in part, has happened unto Israel. How long until the fullness of the Gentiles come in? And when the fullness is in, the fullness, the bride, class, after this. The Lord's going to deal with the house of Israel. After the fullness of the Gentiles come in, then all Israel shall be saved. Not saved yet, are they? The Spirit is not upon them now. No, no, friends. Brother and Sister Pollock were over there and they talked with many, many of them, and they say they all claim that all of this work that's being accomplished in Palestine is because of the Zionist movement. And the most of them believe the Zionist movement is their Messiah. Don't your Bible tell you that they'd go back in unbelief? Yes. Blindness still is over them. The blindness hasn't been removed, and it will not be removed until the full number of the Gentiles come in. Then it'll take place. Old Nazar, the Pharaoh of Egypt, he's Pharaoh today, of Egypt. He said recently he'll drive Israel into the sea. There was another Pharaoh that said that one time, didn't he? That he would drive Israel into the sea. But we know what happened. He was overthrown in the sea, and all his hosts with him. And I think that's going to happen again. Don't you? I believe that, friends. They're boasting about this thing. If the nations of the earth were wise, they would they keep their hands off in Israel. They're playing with dynamite. And all of the nations that will fight against Israel, as we shall see, shall be destroyed right before our very eyes. When Jacob's trouble comes, it'll be right in the midst of Armageddon. Don't let anyone tell you it's over with. No, not according to the Bible. Not according to the truth movement. No, my dearly beloved, let's not be deceived about this thing. St. Paul here, it's really wonderful, isn't it? This 11th chapter of Hebrews. And he said, "For this is my covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, when I take away their sins, and I will forgive their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more." Now, if the great God of the universe is willing to do this, for the house of Israel, we'd ought to rejoice with him, hadn't we? We'd ought to be glad. And friends, you know, it's going to be a bitter pill for the people of the earth to accept the house of Israel. Salvation is of the Jew first, then to the Gentiles, St. Paul said, and Jesus also. And I believe it, don't you? Now let me take you back to Jeremiah. In the 30th chapter of Jeremiah, we read about Jacob's last trouble. But firstly, let us look at the first chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet of God. And I think he was a young man. His father was a high priest. Powerful, healthy young man. And your Bible tells you in the first chapter of Jeremiah that he was consecrated and sanctified before he was born. Brother Russell said that he pictured the church. A good one too, isn't it? Well, why? Because we too are consecrated and sanctified before we're born into the kingdom. While Jeremiah was begotten of the Holy Spirit before he was born. There must be a begettal, a beginning, quickening, and energizing before the birth. He was consecrated and sanctified, and so we too. We're begotten, a beginning, a begettal, quickening, energizing. Finally will come the birth. Wonderful man, Jeremiah. Wonderful picture, isn't it? God said to Jeremiah in that chapter, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And he was looking towards the north country. And he saw a seething pot. Elisha says a boiling cauldron. What's north of Palestine? Russia. What came out of Russia? Seething pot. Radical spirit. Spreading all over the earth. And the Lord said it would. 4,000 years ago. Right in that chapter. He said, out of the north an evil shall come forth unto all the inhabitants of the earth. Out of the north country. It's spreading everywhere. Spreading all through Canada. I've had some wonderful experience in Canada. While I was serving in one city, after the meeting, a man came to me and he said, would you give that talk tomorrow night? I talked on universal peace, when and how. Well, I said, I can't tomorrow night. I said, I'm on my way to Saskatoon tomorrow morning. Oh, dear, he said, I can get 300 people out to hear that talk. What will we do about it? Well, I said, can't do anything until I come back. I wouldn't mind giving it. So finally I said, well, who are these people? You said you can get 300. Why not have them tonight? No, he said, I couldn't give them. I didn't know. He said, you gave a talk of that kind. And I said to him, well, what do you call yourself? He said, we're Christian socialists. Well, you might know what that is. That's communism. Nothing more than communism. Another place I was in, they came to me after a meeting, a lady, she did the talking, and she said, we want you to come to our office tomorrow. We're looking for a man like you to lecture for us. We'll pay you anything you ask, any salary you ask. We want you to lecture from coast to coast. No, I said, I'm perfectly satisfied. I'm serving the Lord with every fiber of my being, without salary and without price. Oh, no, 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 you don't need to do that, she said. No, I said, I'll not be to your office. I said, I'd like to ask you a question. What is your organization? She said, we're 5 million strong. I have plenty of money. She said, we're a Christian peace organization. Good name, isn't it? That's another one. I actually believe that's another one. The land and the country is full of it, friends. 4,000 years ago, through Jeremiah, the Lord spake of this. And then you know the Lord what he said? He said, out of the north country, the kingdoms of the north shall come down and set their gates at the entering of Jerusalem. What are they going to come down for? Take a spoil, of course. Oh, how they're watching Palestine today. Watching Palestine like a cat watches a mouse. And they're working all schemes to get in there. Now they're working through Egypt. Egypt get anything they want from Russia. Russia has now become as poor as a mouse. Reports came from New York that the ruble, the Russian ruble, is worth 25 cents. But a few days ago, it went down to 3 cents. And they can't loan a dollar from any nation. And now the report said they'll do something desperate. That's why they're having that trouble. But they'd like to take over Israel. It's a rich country, isn't it? A very rich country, Israel is. has oil and much gold. Ah, you see, friends, the day we're living in, one of these days there's going to be something that's going to surprise the whole world. I believe that. Now, friends, I want to follow a few of these scriptures I have down here. I want to call to mind one in the 16th chapter of Revelation, 13th verse. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These are spirits of devils working miracles before all the kings of the earth and the whole world. And he, and I believe that's Christ, gathered them, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the whole world, gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. You all know what the beast is. You all know what the false prophet is. What's the dragon? Have we forgotten? Our fourth volume of scripture studies opens with this scripture that I just quoted. What's the dragon again? Most of the friends forgot about it. Read it again, friends. What is the dragon? Well, I remember when I was a boy I saw the dragon. You did, yes. Mother had one of those large Bibles on her parlor table. My name's Christian. My brother's name's Freddie. We desired. I said, Freddie, let's get the Bible. We'd have to ask Mother first. And we'd page it and we'd see all them terrible pictures in that Bible. When he came to the dragon, why, then we're ready to close it up and go to bed. Crawl into the bed. Oh, that dragon. Intelligent men took them things out for Christian people. Trying to make them believe that nonsense. Literal dragons. It's going to devour the whole earth. It says the dragon would devour the whole earth. It's a monster, I'll tell you. Well, what is it? Well, our pastor told us years and years ago that down here at the end of the age, the dragon would be made manifest. Well, what is the dragon? It's the civil powers. Well, how will they devour the earth? Through taxation. Aren't they doing it? Aren't they devouring the earth through taxation? Well, that's right. What's your dollar worth? And they're adding, adding, adding. No way out. Absolutely no way out with all this defense program. Won't the taxes come down? No, they're going to go up. It's the dragon. Devour. The whole earth. Symbolic earth. Organized society. That's what it's doing. See, friends, the day we're living in is taking them all as a thief in the night and as a snare. They're all in a trap. That's right. Wonderful day we're living in, isn't it? Now, the Revelator said, friends, that he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Then the seventh vial was poured out in the air. And then after that it said, it's done. Where were the other six vials poured? In the earth. Where would the last one be poured? In the earth? No, in the air. Well, what do you think? I'm not dogmatic about this. I want you to do some thinking. What do you think the six vials are, the six volumes? Each a message. First message, a second message, a third message. Vials poured out in the earth. And the seventh one would be poured out in the earth? No, no, no. No, no, it never was the finished mystery, friends. No, no. This one will be poured out in the air. A message that's going through the air. And I believe we're right in the beginning of it now. Everywhere in the air. Around the globe. Think of a 50,000. Think of a 500,000 watt station in India. reaches all of Asia, goes into Jerusalem, clears a bell, goes into London, clears a bell, reaches 80 million English-speaking people at a low rate, too. Think of a 100,000 watt station in Monte Carlo, all over continental Europe. And as a result, we're organizing classes, 50 classes organized in Italy. Have two pilgrims there now. Classes being organized in Africa, in India. And think of the classes organized in Poland, all over Germany, every town, city, and hamlet in England, and all the stations on this continent. 50,000 watt station in Luxembourg goes right into London, England, like this. Who's doing it? God Almighty. What's going over there? A message. And what is the message? The everlasting gospel to be preached to all of the world. It looks to me, friends, that the last vial is being poured out over the air.
Think for yourself. You can accept it if you want to, and you don't need to. Now I'm going to turn to the 65th chapter of Isaiah. Perhaps we'll have something to rejoice over, my dearly beloved. Before I read some of this, I have a report that came from New York, confidential report. A man by the name of Baxter. He said there are only a few countries left who are not bankrupt. Hardly a week passes that we see one or two countries reducing the value of their money. Russia, the most important one, the official rate of their rubles was 25 cents. Now it's down to 3 cents. Now Russia will become desperate. The Spanish currency was reduced to another 33%. From India to France, the dollars are worthless. Now the cashing of saving bonds is on. Banks, insurance company, individuals are selling their bonds. So rapidly the Treasury can't hardly handle them. Isaiah 2, 2nd chapter, 9th verse, 19th, 20th verse. They shall cast the idols of their gold in the streets, and to the bats and the moles, and the idols of their gold shall become worthless. They don't have any gold. It's against the law to have any gold, but you have the idols of the gold. When this thing comes, they'll be worthless. All the stocks and the bonds will be worthless, brethren. Just as sure as you're in that seat, that's what Prophet Isaiah said, and I believe it. They're becoming worthless over there now, aren't they? What's your dollar worth today? Ah, friends. Oh, I have more here, but one more I want to read. Steel prices. Steel rises to $6 a ton. What'll that mean? Strikes, 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 strikes everywhere. Now the strike program will be on. You go to New York or Brooklyn and everywhere down the street, you look down the street and you see strikes, strikes even now. It'll be worse. Everything will go up. Have to go up. Steel, $6 a ton. Men will strike. What'll it mean? Crisis. Crisis. Crisis everywhere. I think we're about the end of the age, don't you? Now let's go to Isaiah 65 and be happy. We're all going to be happy now. 18th verse. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Father in heaven, what are you going to create? Please tell us. But he says, be ye glad and rejoice. Isn't that wonderful?
and rejoice forever in that which I create.
Well, what is it, Lord?
Behold,
something great, something spectacular, something awe-inspiring is going to take place. And what is it?
Behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing and her people a joy.
Oh, how often I used that in public. And how often Brother Russell used it. And we all used it, but we didn't pay very much attention to it. We used it in a public way. But here we are, right at the brink of the entire arrangement. Now look what the Lord said.
I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Because of this, the Lord says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered and nor come into mind.
New heavens, do you see it now? The Lord Jesus and his bride in glory.
And then he began to deal with the house of Israel. And when the disciples came to the Lord Jesus, 19th chapter of Matthew 28 and 29th verse, Jesus said to them, in the regeneration, that's the millennium. That's the millennium. It'll begin in the house of Israel. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, then shall ye, my disciples, sit upon thrones. They'll all be kings. A kingdom of kings.
That's what it means. A kingdom of kings. And what's the work? He tells them there. Judging, that's the first work. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 2 tribes? No. 10 tribes? No. British Israel isn't found in the Bible at all. 12 tribes of Israel. The whole house of Israel. And that's what he gives it in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. You remember the valley of dry bones? Yes. And you remember how that sinew came upon the bones and flesh? And finally there was a great army. Oh my, what a great army. Ezekiel surely was astonished when he saw that great army. Who are they? Who is this great army? And the Lord said, this is the whole house of Israel. No 2 tribes or 10 tribes about it. Are we happy? In the 12th, 13th, 14th verse, he said, I'll open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. I'll plant you in your own land, L-A-N-D, land. And you shall know that I'm the Lord your God. And I'll put my spirit within you, and ye shall live. And he said to Ezekiel, prophesy. Prophesy the wind, that the wind may blow on this great army of bones. Wind, I wonder why. Because it was breath. Breath that he breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he became a living soul. So the wind, the breath, would have to come and make them alive, you see. Same word. Breath. Wind. And they're going to become alive. They were dead, just like the Gentiles. They're all dead, too. These prophecies are outstanding. They're spectacular to us. And I think it does our hearts good to go over them once in a while this thing is taking place right before our very eyes. My dearly beloved, the prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, tells us something about this thing, doesn't he? Let's go back here. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. It'll be so great and so spectacular, friends, when this thing takes place and the kingdom is established in glory and in great power, that they won't think of the darkness back here. It'll be so great. And how are they going to come back? What the prophet Isaiah told us. He said they're going to return with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Now, had we ought to rejoice with God? Listen what he said. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and I will joy in my people. And he said, be ye glad and rejoice. Let us be real happy about it, friends. Because it's so near. God is rejoicing over it. He said, I will join my people. And he wants us to rejoice with him. I'm getting more out of this all the time as I study it and read it. Think, the kingdom of kings, the world's great high priest, and you and I there. Firstly, deal with the 12 tribes of Israel. And then it spread to all mankind. Oh, friends, we can't visualize what joy that will be, not only for us, but for all mankind. And the Lord said, I will do something more. Listen to this. This, to me, is outstanding, wonderful, and I get more out of it than I used to, too. Although it was a blessing to me, I used to use it in a public way, but now it seems to me it's so outstanding. In Isaiah 13 and 12, the Lord said, I will make man more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. Do you know of any organization upon the earth that could do that? Religion? Political, financial, ecclesiastical? No, they couldn't do a thing like that. No, they can preach to the public and have them come up the shortest path, and they'll say they believe in Jesus, and then they give them a fire insurance policy because they joined one of the bundles. The bundling is going on, you know. It's a tare field. The wheat are about all out. Now someone has got to do the bundling. They don't care which bundle you go to. There's 40 different kinds of holiness bundles in Texas. 15 kinds of Baptist bundles. 21 kinds of Lutheran bundles and so on. I don't care which one you go to, Billy says. Just so you go to one of the bundles. That's what's going on. Been going on for quite a while. Sam Jones did the same thing. Latimer did the same thing. Billy Sunday did the same thing. He died with about $2 million in his pocket. And he spent all the money he could on doctors to keep him right here. He said, this is good enough for me. I want to stay right here. He never expected to go to heaven. But he was a good bundler. Well, friends, Jesus said they would be tied in bundles, didn't he? Look at here. A new heart also will I give you. I wonder who could do that for these Jews. you know anybody could give them a new heart? Couldn't do it. No, you'd have to have too many dollars. But that thing will all be over with when Jesus handles this matter. The world's guide high priest will handle the matter. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, that callous, hard, selfish heart. Both Jew and Gentile. They all need to be restored. And this whole thing's going to take care of the colored situation, too. Do you know any legislators or any parliament or any rulers, dictators, or whoever they may be, that could handle this colored situation? I've been down south. I've been in Alabama and all through Tennessee. No. Those people say if they'd only let us alone, we'd be satisfied. I remember one brother came to me. He was just becoming interested in the truth. His daughter already had his wife, already had the truth. And he said to me, would you give a talk in my home? Why, yes, I said. Only about 12 miles from where we were. And so I said, well, we'll set an evening and we'll come over. All right. And so we set the evening and went over. Now he said, What I want, he said, you know, I have about a half a dozen colored families. I have a large cotton plantation here. And he said, I have these colored families working for me. I'd like to have them hear the message. Well, I said, now, if it's permissible. Well, he said, that's the question. I don't know, you know. The law is very strict down here. Well, I said, I tell you what you do. You call up the sheriff or the marshal or whoever it is you have out here in your territory and ask him and tell him this, that you must tell him that the man is a white man. He's going to give the lecture on the Bible. And that you will have the colored folks sit in the kitchen while all the white folks sit in the living room. Could that be arranged? Oh, yes, he said, I have a large kitchen and I have a large living room, something like this. Well, I said, perhaps they'll permit it. And he called him up. Well, he said, that'll be all right, he said, if the colored folks will all sit in the kitchen. Now, you see how strict they are down there in all these things. So I gave the talk, and those colored folks were so pleased. Of course, they never heard anything about it. Never heard anything about the kingdom. Kingdom message is what I talked on. They all took literature, and he was so happy. And you know, that man consecrated and came in the truth. As a result, you see, of having a meeting in his own home. His wife was already consecrated. But you see, this colored situation, friends, is something spectacular. And I think if they let it alone, but it's going to add to the battle of the great day when every man's hand is against his neighbor. I believe that, friends. And I think you do, too. But the Lord said, hey, you'll handle all this. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Can we do that? Could we go over there to Palestine and talk to them Jews and ask them to walk in God's statutes? You'd go out of the back door. It isn't time. The Lord's going to do that. I will do it, the Lord says. I will do it. He didn't commission me to do it, or he didn't commission you to do it. But the Lord's going to do it. Let us not run ahead of the Lord, because we may lose the truth. That's right. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're going to dwell in that land. Here we have people going up and down the street selling books, saying, there, the Israel today, bitterly opposed to the Jews going back to Palestine, because they claim to be Israel himself. I wonder when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob ever was their earthly fathers. Oh, how foolish to apply such a scripture to themselves. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call from the corn and will increase it and lay no more famine upon you. Wouldn't that be sweet? Wouldn't that be grand? No more famines. Oh, the whole 36th chapter of Ezekiel is filled with statements like that. Now there's one in Amos, the 9th chapter, that we should read the entire chapter. Amos 9. You won't forget it. I'm just going to give you a few verses of it tonight. It begins like this, and this is found also in Jeremiah 30:11. Word for word, like this. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon a sinful kingdom, and I will destroy that sinful kingdom from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, the house of Israel, saith the Lord. The Lord is talking to us. Do we believe it? I do. I hope you all believe it. But you say, what's the sinful kingdom? Jeremiah said, it's the kingdom that's called by my name. Or what kingdom is called by my name? Russia? No. No, they don't believe in God. They've cast out God. No, it couldn't be them. What is the sinful kingdom? A kingdom that's called by his name. And what is it? Christendom. Christ's kingdom. Is it Christ's kingdom? No, never was. But it's called by his name. Called by his name. And where is all the corruption in the sinful kingdom, all the iniquity, unrighteousness, envy, jealousy, hatred, murder, and war? In Christendom. And I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Goodbye, Babylon. It must go down like a millstone cast into the sea, never to return. 18th chapter of Revelation. Between New York and Chicago, it's solid Catholic today. 94% of the police in New York are Catholic. All the commentators, newspapers, chief of the police, postmasters, mayors, politicians from New York to Chicago practically, all of them Catholic. And look at the churches they're building. That's the mother church. Look at the churches the daughters are building and crowding them with people. Where are they going? Up right where they belong. 18th chapter of Revelation said to be lifted up. Aye, aye. That's what we've been looking forward to all these years, haven't we? When will old Babylon be lifted up? Up, up, way up there. There's where it is tonight. I don't think it's got far to go. It'll come down like a millstone cast into the sea, never, never, never to return. How will it go down? With violence. The Bible says, right in that chapter, with violence. Violence is flaring out in many places today. And how quickly it could come. So when they build more churches, and they crowd the churches, clap your hands and stomp your feet. That's what we've been looking forward to. They're all bundles anyway. They've got to be burned. That's plain English. But I believe it. And in your heart you believe it, because that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what the volumes taught all this time. You can't change it, and I can't change it. Let's not run ahead of the Lord. Try to change these things. All there are men and women that are trying to do it. It can't be done, brethren. Don't believe it. Being made manifest, everything that's hidden shall be made manifest. For the what shall declare it shall be declared so as by fire. Fiery judgments. Oh, my dearly beloved, even the television the people have in their homes now revealing many, many things to the people. And they put a large article of several columns in one of the large magazines in the East, and I read it, I saw it, and I had it. My brother-in-law has it. And what does it say? Most of the doctors ought to be in jail. That's true. That's true. There ought to be more of that. All these things, friends, are going to be revealed, made manifest. And they'll show it right on the film, too. I believe that. And I will destroy it from the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Israel. Oh, he's going to take care of Israel, all right, but the others are going to go down. Now, look, I'm not watching the time. I didn't do that the other night. I went 20 minutes over time. But I want to finish this, at least. Brethren, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Now, you knew, and our dear brother Russell told us way back as far as 1884, that it represents the great time of trouble. The plowshares go deep, and it brings up the undercrust labor, and it covers up the upper crust. The upper crust goes under. labor and capital, and that battle is on. It'll be fought to the finish. See the steel prices go up? Now they're getting closer together for more strikes. Be fought to the finish, friends. Yes, and we're living in that. And what's going on? It says here, the plowman, a great time of trouble, shall overtake the reapers. Who are the reapers? The wise virgin class. And what are they doing? They're sowing seed. What are they sowing seed for? For the millennium, of course. For the millennium. All these people getting ready for the millennium. Like over there in Italy. 50 Bible classes organized as a result of Frank and Ernest's program, the Italian language. And the most of them are seeking meekness and seeking righteousness. And as you talk to them, our dear brother Caporanto said, you'd think they're all consecrated, and they are all consecrated, I believe, but they're not begotten of the Holy Spirit. What's the Lord going to do with them? Take them over into the kingdom. There's two or three in each class that are consecrated. The Lord provides the leaders, you see. Africa too. India too. All over this land in Canada too. Silently, this thing is taking place. Who's doing it? The wise virgin class. They're doing the work, and then see what follows. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build a waste cities, doing it now, and they'll inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They're doing it now. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. 5,000 tons of peanuts were exported from Israel. Recent report. Millions of cases of oranges and the sweetest fruit that you ever ate. Sweeter than California or Florida. Why? God's back of it. God's back of it. That's why. Listen. Beautiful. And I will bring again the captivity of my people. I will plant them upon their land. Who's going to do that? God's going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's I, both Old and New Testament, all the time. Let us recognize that God's going to do that thing. Not asking any men to do it. I'm going to do it. I will plant them on their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. That's the 9th chapter of Amos. Oh, there's so many, friends. But I see the time has expired, and it's way past time. But my dearly beloved, let us be loyal and faithful to our covenant relationship with God. We've laid our all upon the altar of sacrifice, and it means, friends, that your humanity and the human nature must die daily. Let us keep it upon the altar until it's all consumed, and then you and I will see him face to face, and we'll share his glory. And think, friends, what it'll mean. It's worth all your while, the little sacrificing that you have done since you embraced the truth. It's worth all your while just to see our Heavenly Father, the greatest being in the universe, and to see the Lord Jesus in all his glory. It's worth all your while just to see him. But think what he's offered to you and to me, that we'll see him, our friends will live with him, sit upon a throne with him, to all the endless ages of eternity. Why, my dearly beloved, think the holy angels would be glad to come down here in Portland to take your place. But he never offered to angels. He's passed by all the cherubim, seraphims, principalities, and powers and angels. He's passed by the great men and the wise men and the chief captains of this earth. And all the spiritual leaders too. He selected little you and little me to inherit that prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, how appreciative we ought to be. How thankful we ought to be that we still are walking in the steps of Jesus. Let us still hold to the truth. Feast upon these things. Keep your feet under the table. The spread is there. The Lord said, let there be light. And think of the light that we have. And then he says, in thy light, the light that's on that table, in thy light we shall see light. Not in some man's light or some organization's light. Look out for it. But in thy light we shall see light. If we keep studying these things, we'll see more and more and clearer and better all the time, don't we? Of course you do.
And now, dear brethren, let us remember each other in our prayers,
because it's very essential that we pray for one another to faithfulness, that we may be faithful, not merely to the brethren, faithful to God and to Christ, but faithful to the truth. That's incorporated in your morning resolve, that we'd be faithful to the truth. But many are faithful, trying to be faithful to God and Christ, but they're not faithful to the truth. We must be faithful to the truth as well as faithful to the brethren.
And now may the Lord add his blessing. Thank you for your kindness.